Welcome into the Wizards group chat. I'm your host, Ryan Oliver, alongside my man, Chase Carroll. Chase, the Wizards are 2-0 in the preseason so far. Not like the record really matters, but there's been some good, some indifferent, maybe some we're not so enthused about. But overall, I think preseason's been pretty fun so far. I'm excited to hop on and kind of lay out our thoughts. But let's start with how you're doing. Happy belated birthday to you, man.
Thank you, Ryan, and happy early birthday to you. Couple birthdays this week for the Wizards group chat. So thank you for that. I've been great, and the Wizards actual basketball is right around the corner. I'm beyond excited. I've been waiting since they played their last game for this. Like, this is all I care about these days. I go to work, I get home, and I watch the Wizards. Like, this is all I can't wait to do. It's right around the corner, and getting this taste of preseason basketball is scratching the itch that I have for it, but it's not getting it quite yet. Like, I can't wait. I can't wait till we finally get real basketball.
Yeah, literally my favorite week of the year is like the opening week of besides maybe like the finals and things like that. Like, my favorite week is just the opening week. It's so exciting. I like for the NBA, and you know, not only for the Wizards, but just the NBA in general, and seeing all the good players back and that type of thing. And the Wizards got off to a really good start. They played against the Taipans, the Australian League team. They kicked the shit out of them, to be honest. I mean, that team, if I'm just being quite frank, like, I was trying to think of a PC way of saying that, but they really just took it to them. Apparently that team had a really crazy travel schedule leading up to that game, which might explain why they looked so sluggish and kind of, they looked like a D2 team. I mean, that was kind of what I thought when I was watching them play. So I felt like that was a game where I couldn't really take a ton from the Wizards. I think it was a fun game to watch as a fan, because how many games do we watch where the Wizards are just like the dominant team? Usually they're the team getting dominated. So it was a bit of a change of pace, but it took me all of like half of the first quarter to be like, okay, I don't really think I can take much away from this game, because the competition just didn't seem up to par in terms of NBA standards. But with the second game, we saw the Wizards defeat the Hornets. And I thought that was definitely a game that we could take a little bit more from. But Chase, I'll give you the floor. What are some of your early impressions from what we've seen so far this preseason?
I think the main takeaway I have is just the pure excitement I have for Bilal Coulibaly. First round pick this year, only 19 years old. So you can't really expect a ton of him out of the gate. But early on in the preseason, I think he's shown way more than I would have expected this early into his NBA career. And yes, he did play against an Australian League team in the first preseason game. And yes, they played the Hornets in the second one, who aren't, you know, by NBA standards, top tier by any means. But to see him in every level he's played in the NBA so far, from summer league to Australian team in preseason to now an NBA team, he's shown in each and every, you know, step of the way that he's going to be, I think, an elite defender. And not even in a few years, I think he can immediately defend at a high level in the NBA at 19 years old. And that's so rare for a rookie to just be able to come in and immediately provide an impact there. And more than just an impact, I think he can change games defensively already. And I'm just extremely excited about that. And he's even shown a little bit more offensively than I think I could have expected from him this early in his career. Both in the summer league, he showed a little bit more than I expected, and now a couple games into his preseason here. I'm just beyond excited about the possibilities for him, and that's really been my main takeaway. There's plenty more to discuss within these first two games, but my main takeaway was that the Rook looks incredible. The future, I think, looks bright for him. And I don't want to get ahead of myself too much here, but I think we do have a future potential all defensive team kind of talent there defensively, just based on extremely early signs from Bilal.
I'll piggyback right off what you're saying. I feel like that's the number one thing that kind of leaps off the screen when you're watching the Wizards in terms of something to be excited about and something really positive to take away from what we've seen so far. I felt like, especially in the second game against the Hornets, you just saw a little bit of everything. You saw his shooting stroke look it looked sped up to me compared to what I saw on film. I don't know if that's an inaccurate read on it, but I felt like when the threes that he made, I believe he was 2 of 3 from three, it looked really fluid from compared to just what I had seen on film. So I was really happy with that, because I think that more so than it going in, it's that the mechanics looked sound in terms of if he reps that out consistently over the next couple of years, could he be a good 3-point shooter down the road? You know, when the Wizards are really trying to win is kind of the way I was assessing it, watching. And I was like, okay, like his shot, you know, he shot a midi on the move and it looked fluid. He did a couple catch and shoots and knocked him down, looked really fluid. So that was something I was really happy with in terms of offense. And defensively, he's ahead of where I thought he'd be. I thought he'd be a solid rookie defender, obviously, but he looked like he would, from that small sample that we have, and albeit the preseason, he looked like he would already be their best wing defender slash a plus defender. And Denny's a really good defender as well, so that, you know, that would be debatable. But I think that on a team that really lacks good wing defense, I mean, it's rare for the Wizards to have somebody that stands out on the wing in terms of defense. I can't remember the last guy that's really popped defensively besides maybe Young Wall when he was really kind of invested in that end or on that end of the floor. I mean, but that was really exciting to me, is that I could tell that defense matters to him. And that's something that he takes pride in. And I feel like a lot of times with young players and NBA players in general, scoring typically is something that players want to do. They want to score. They're focused on offense. And for a lot of obvious reasons. But to me, to have a rookie that looks like, oh, wow, like he's popping defensively more so than offense. And his offense looks good, too. So I think that it's just exciting to have a prospect that you're like, okay, like he's got size, he's got length, he's got athleticism, and it's all very high. He has like natural defensive instincts. He knows where to be. He's playing hard, and he just has a cool, calm, collective demeanor too. And I know a lot of people have made this comparison, so it's not anything, I'm not making a novel comparison here, but he honestly reminds me so much of OG Anunoby in terms of like the way he looks when he's playing. And that's a really good thing. I mean, OG Anunoby, I know, is not maybe in terms of like the ceiling. I don't think that's his ceiling, but OG Anunoby is a really, really nice NBA player. And especially for him to kind of, it's just more about the traits and in the way his arms are really long and the way he kind of is in his stance and stuff like that. It just really reminds me of OG Anunoby. And when I was watching the Hornets game, I was just like, wow, he really reminds me of OG Anunoby. It's like remarkable. And I think that is honestly his floor is an OG Anunoby like level player. And I think that's really exciting. If OG Anunoby is potentially his floor, I think that just really bodes well for the type of player the Wizards might have on their hands.
Yeah. If they hit on, if he's an OG Anunoby type player, he's a hit. And I agree with your assessment there. I think that is his floor. Most definitely. He's clearly already got the athleticism, NBA level athleticism that we have not had, to your credit. Like you said, like I would say like John Wall, athletically, we haven't had a young athlete like that in the building in so long. And it feels so good to just have one that we can hang our hats on for the next few years. He's going to be a great defender in this league. I think there's zero doubt about that. If he can increase his offensive capabilities like OG Anunoby has done over the last few seasons, I think we would have an incredible player on our hands. So I'm extremely excited about what we've seen early on from Bilal. And I think we were both super excited about the draft pick when it happened. And I'd say a summer league in, a couple preseason games in, there's zero reason to be discouraged with what we've seen from Bilal. I think we should actually be even more encouraged, even more so than we knew.
Yeah, I think that he was just more ready than I anticipated. And this kind of leads into the next question, at least revolving around Bilal. And then we can get to a few other things that we've that we've seen from the preseason so far, but I really was not considering it in my head Bilal starting much. I felt like he was a raw, kind of a raw prospect that they would need to bring along, and maybe towards the middle to end of the season, maybe you throw him in games as a starter as the season kind of progresses and the team isn't focused on winning games as much, but, you know, more so in development. But again, it's two preseason games, and one of them was not against an NBA caliber team. So I'm prefacing my statement with that. But he was just more ready for a role than I think I thought he would be. And I would not be opposed to just throwing him out there with the starters at the, you know, at the three is what I would do. Tyus, Poole, Bilal, Kuzma, Gafford. I think I would just do it at this point. And I know we haven't seen Denny yet. And I've been an advocate of wanting Denny to be in that starting lineup. But I think after seeing where Bilal is, and given that he's the most important player on the roster at this point, all their resources, their thinking should be, how can we maximize this young prospect? Because he's the future of the team over everyone else on the team. Bilal's the future. So now that I think he's shown that he can really hang defensively, you know, more or less, he's not going to do a ton on ball offensively anyway, no matter what lineup he's in, whether he's coming off the bench or whether he starts. He's just not, to me, at a place where he's going to be doing a ton off the ball. So why not play him with the starters at this point, and he can be brought along slower on offense, and you can throw him more into the fire defensively and say, hey, like, can you guard some of the better wings in the league? You know, you need someone to guard a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown or those type. And again, he'll probably get cooked a lot because he's a rookie, right? But why not throw him in the fire and give him those experiences? And obviously, you just don't let him get torched for the whole game or anything. That's why you can bring Denny in and things like that. But why not, given that he's shown that he can hang and he's shown that he's a little bit further ahead than we anticipated? I think I'm just advocating at this point for him just starting and maybe not playing, you know, 35 minutes a night as a starter, but maybe let's just give him the 28 minutes and let's just see, you know, as a starter and see what it looks like. And he's, to me, that game against the Hornets showed me that his demeanor, his instincts, and his comfort is already a bit ahead of where I think a lot of us anticipated.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you 100% on my thoughts on potentially starting Bilal. I would 100% do it right out the gate. Throw him in, and if it doesn't work out, you're able to take the reins off a little bit, and there's options to throw in that starting lineup. But I would love to see him in that starting lineup at the three, allow Corey and Denny to come in off the bench and really lead that second unit. I think before the season, in previous pods, we'd talked about potential starting lineups. We had discussed, okay, who's going to win this battle at the three? Because there's really plenty of options to go with, and that doesn't even include Shamet, who could have potentially maybe been an option if he hadn't become injured. Probably not, hopefully, but he would have been in the mix as well. So I would throw Bilal out there over Corey and Denny for sure in the starting lineup, because as you said, this guy's drafted to be the future of the team, and he's shown way more than I think anyone could have ever anticipated early on. Just 19 years old, and he, you know, kind of came on late in the French league. Really, the last few weeks, he kind of started to look like that kind of player that is really going to be high on NBA, you know, draft boards. He only really showed that the last few weeks of the season over there. So the fact that he's building off that already and has shown NBA caliber, not only defense, but offense, it's just super encouraging. They had been discussing potentially sending him into the G League some this season. I want zero G League time for Bilal. If you need to get him time, do it on the NBA level, because it's clear to me, and it's a very small sample size, but it's clear in that small sample size that he is ready for the NBA game. So just throw him out there. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, we're in agreement there. I would love to just see him start at this point. I am excited to see what Denny looks like. So hopefully he can play in the next couple preseason games and we can get a look at kind of like what he's gonna look like and you know, coming off I don't know if he's dealing with an injury. I can't remember exactly what's going on with him, but I know that they're saying that he should be available for one of the next preseason games. So I'm just hoping that we can get a look at him too. I don't not ruling out Denny starting, but I think at this point I would just put Bilal out there. But let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the center position. What are your thoughts on the center position from what we've seen so far in the preseason? We saw some Gallo at five. Muscala didn't play in the first game, but he played in the second game, and we haven't seen any of Taj Gibson so far. And Anthony Gill is hurt now. So there's been a lot of moving parts with the center position, but what are some of your early preseason impressions of what our center rotation is looking like?
The question marks we've had for the last few weeks regarding the center position are even more magnified now without Anthony Gill, which is crazy to say, but it's true. That's yet another center option that we had discussed out the mix. So we've seen some Gallo at the five, and it's been, as we have said with Bilal, this has also been a very small sample size. But I think based on the sample size we've seen, I don't think there's any reason to believe that this is going to be a good thing. And I like Gallo the player. I don't like Gallo the player at the five. It just doesn't make sense to me. And he's got height. He just doesn't have the frame to be a center. He can't rebound the way a center needs to or defend the way a center needs to. So I just think anytime he's out there at the five, you're at a defensive, he's a liability defensively at the five. So I would love another real option in the mix at the center position. And I know they just traded for somebody in the G League who could potentially be a two-way player down the line at center. Forgive me for not having him, in front
I
of me
believe
right
it's
now, his
Michael
name.
Foster Jr.
Yep. You're on it. Yeah, so he could potentially be an option here in the near future, and I hope that's the case. I hope we find our young guy because he's still not in the building. And Mike Muscala, he'll be an okay guy that you have to throw in there every once in a while, but you definitely don't want to depend on him being your long-term second center. And from what we saw from Gallo, he's just not the answer at the five. So I'm really still concerned about this center rotation. Gafford, I don't think there's any reason to believe he's going to be able to put up, the 28 minutes or so a night that you need him to. If he does, that's wonderful. But will they be an effective 28 minutes, or is it going to be a foul-ridden, kind of year for him? I hope that we get the minutes we need out of him, but otherwise, we're really struggling to find some answers there at the center position, and I don't want to see a single minute from Taj Gibson. I love that he hasn't played in the preseason. I hope that continues into the regular season because any minute that Taj Gibson plays is a waste of a minute. And I'm sorry to say that about Taj. I like him as a person, and I liked him as a player throughout his career. It's just 38 years old now. There's no reason to give a guy like that minutes when you are in what others perceived to be a rebuilding situation. It's like there's no reason to throw a veteran out there that's when you need minutes for young guys. Even if that young guy isn't on the roster, they better get one on that roster here coming up soon.
A few things. I'm really disappointed with how they've handled the whole center spot because I feel like it's been such an obvious need spot. And even with center being a devalued position in the NBA, let's just be really frank about the status of every center that the Wizards have. Gafford is a backup too. So I like Gafford. This is not to speak down on Gafford or to be pessimistic. I like Gafford. He is who he is at this point. He's not a young prospect that has some really high ceiling or he's going to add more to his game. Gafford is a rim running lob threat center who can block shots but still isn't phenomenal on defense, and he's not a good rebounder. So what is that guy in today's NBA? That guy's a 20-minute per game backup center and probably a good one. He probably would be really good in that role for a bunch of teams. But the Wizards have him playing a bit above his head in terms of role and responsibility, in my opinion. So that's one. Two, Muscala is a third center, not a guy that should be relied on in a rotation. And I like Mike Muscala enough where I'd be happy to have him on my team in the proper role. And I'm happy that he's on the Wizards. So this isn't a knock on Muscala, but I just think he's a third center on pretty much any other team in the league that is trying to compete, I should say. Anthony Gill is not an NBA player. I've seen enough. I've seen enough. The minutes I saw against the Australian League team was enough for me this season. I don't understand what the infatuation with Gill is in any capacity from the previous regime, the current regime. I just don't see it. I don't see an NBA player. I think he's a great locker room guy, and if they want to keep him around as a end of the bench guy that doesn't play, okay, so be it. But he shouldn't be getting any minutes. And Gallo at the five was something that we speculated on this podcast when we were trying to figure out what they were doing with the five. We talked about, like, maybe the plan is to play Gallo some at the five. We saw that pretty much immediately. And that's, to me, is not something that's going to be viable, except for maybe in short bursts. Like, maybe it's a quick changeup look here and there. But Gallo is so slow-footed now because of the – he never was the quickest-footed guy in the world to begin with. But now that he's a little older and he's had some injuries, you know, they've taken a toll on him. He just isn't as athletic as he used to be. So if you're playing that lineup, not only are you going to get cooked just normally defensively, because he can't – imagine him guarding pick and roll against, like, a Dame and Giannis pick and roll or like – anything like that, like any Jason Tatum pick and roll or any of the great players that are in the Eastern Conference or just NBA for that matter. Can you imagine Gallinari guarding these guys as a center in a pick and roll?
Like, I just we're not gonna have to imagine it, unfortunately. We're gonna live it.
Right. So my point is, I don't hate that they're trying Gallo at the five. But the fact that they actually might have to rely on it is my issue. That's the issue. It's not that they're trying it in the preseason, because that's the point of the preseason, is to test different looks, to get people in condition, to try them at different spots. Like, I don't mind testing stuff out, but it's just clear to me that they're not only going to, he's not going to be able to defend, and they're going to get killed on the boards. They're also going to get killed on the boards when Gafford's at center, when Gill's at center, when Cooks is at center, when Gibson's at center. They're going to get cooked on the boards no matter who's at center, and because we don't have any good rebounding center on the roster. Gibson is probably the best rebounding center on the roster. It's just insane to me that they are bringing this roster into the season without a real backup center option for Gafford. I don't know why that was not some type of target for them this offseason, was to bring in a real backup center. I mean, Nerlens Noel would not be any worse than these options. I don't understand why that can't be an option. I feel like they're just really letting us down here with the center rotation. You can't rely on any of these guys, especially with Gallo getting real minutes at the five. I really think that's something that we're going to see consistently, at least early on, because what other options do they have?
Yeah, I fully am with you on your point about zero rebounders on our squad right now, at least at the five position. That's the biggest concern for me, is definitely that. We have rim protection. I think Gafford definitely fits the bill as far as a rim protector, but to your point, he's probably one of the worst rebounding fives, at least starting fives in the league, and that's a big concern. Kuz and Denny are definitely going to have to pick up the slack there, depending on who the starting lineup is. I mean, they're both going to have to pick up the slack no matter who the starting lineup is, because they're two of the better rebounders on the roster, and they don't play at the five position. But yeah, you look at the roster, Gallo playing at the five, they're not going to get boards there. Gafford, we know, is not a rebounder, and it doesn't appear, you know, early on here in the preseason that that's going to be something that he's necessarily improved on a ton. So To your point, he is who he is. So the lack of rebounding at the five is the biggest concern I have, probably on the entire roster. I think there's, you look at the roster from top to bottom, there's things to like about it. But the five position just is absolutely not one of them. I think early on in the preseason, and before the preseason, we discussed how we thought this was the worst center rotation in the league. I think early on, we can absolutely say, yeah, that's true. That's definitely the case.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm disappointed with the handling of the center position. I don't know why, given what's going on with it, why Vukcevic couldn't have been brought over, because I'd much rather watch him make mistakes playing the five than Muscala, Gil, Cooks, Gallo, or any of these other guys make mistakes. So I'm sure there's some, you know, behind the scenes reason for that, but it's just it makes it more disappointing just watching and knowing kind of what we're going to be in for in terms of that position. And Gafford, to me, is just bound to get in foul trouble or bound to get hurt at some point. And it's, you're really going to be left with playing guys who really shouldn't be seeing more than spot minutes in the NBA. But I digress. It's just kind of the nature of things. Chase, I want to get your thoughts on any of the other major players on the team that, you know, Kuzma, Poole, Tyus Jones. I'll let you take it where you want to go, but what were your thoughts on those guys so far this preseason?
I think it's clear to see that Poole and Kuzma are going to have to lead the way offensively for the team. And we've known that just looking at the roster, those are the guys that are going to get the most shot attempts. Those are the guys who are going to have to provide the offensive scoring load. Because most of the guys on this roster, they provide a role, but scoring for a lot of them is not it. For example, Denny, we haven't even seen him yet in the preseason, but he hasn't really been known to be a scorer at this level. And Corey Kispert, he's shown a little bit of scoring in the league, but I think he's more of a, you know, shooter, more of a slasher. He's not a guy that you want with the ball in your hands a ton. So those guys are going to have to create a lot of offense for themselves, and they're going to have to create for others. But moving on to Tyus Jones, I've liked what I've seen early on. It's definitely not going to be perfect. He's not going to be probably a top end of the league point guard, but I think if you are to compare him to Monte Morris, I'd say he's an upgrade. Similar players, but I think he just provides a little bit more from the offensive end. I think he's able to actually be a true point guard, to whereas I thought Monte Morris was more of a connector of sorts. He was a great assist man, always has been in the league. Great assist to turnover ratio for both of these guys, just about identical, top of the league. But I think Tyus Jones does it from a more point guard like perspective than Monte Morris did. So I like the way he attacks the lane, and he's not afraid to mix it up inside, whereas I thought Monte kind of shied away from that. So I think we're going to get more opportunities offensively this year with a guy like Tyus Jones running the point guard position. But like I said, to the league point guard this season by any means. He's got his deficiencies, especially on defense. I really think outside of guys like Bilal, Denny, I think we're going to continue to struggle defensively this season. And I'm not basing that on the preseason, because we didn't give up much to the Hornets. And, of course, we played a Australian league team that put up no points against them. But I think just based on what we know about the team, we're going to struggle a little bit defensively this year, specifically probably at that guard spot with Tyus Jones and Jordan Poole there in the backcourt.
Yeah, I'll start with my thoughts on Tyus. I feel like Tyus is just about – his performance is just about what I would expect. I feel like he was just kind of finding his footing in terms of getting to know his teammates. He wants to be more of a setup artist instead of trying to get his own buckets. I think I would like to see him be a little bit more aggressive, but it's a preseason game, so I feel like you can't really take a ton away from it. I think I would reserve more critical analysis for how he looks in the first couple games of the season. I think it's just hard to get a feel for what maybe the goal for a point guard like him in a preseason game, because he's not like an ultra aggressive athlete type. So he's never going to be attacking the rim full throttle like a Ja Morant or something like that. But I would like to see him be a bit more aggressive in terms of his own offense, because I think that that aggressiveness will help his ability to set up other players. I think that one thing that I knew this coming in, but it stood out to me, especially in the game against the Hornets. I feel like the focus level from both Poole and Kuzma in terms of the little intangible things is really going to impact the team greatly as a whole. And what I mean by that is the shot selection from both of them, the diet of shots that they take, the quality of shots that they take, whether the shots are in the flow of the offense, whether they're trying on defense, whether they're doing those more little things, I think is really going to have an impact on the team at large. And I thought that in the second game, to me, Jordan Poole just played a little bit looser than I wanted to see. And that's not to nitpick, again, it's the preseason, but I think if there was one criticism last year that was really consistent about Jordan Poole on the Warriors, was that he would make these plays that would leave everyone scratching their head sometimes about, like, what were you doing on that player? He'd have a really silly turnover, take a bad shot. And I think there's some players where that's just a part of the experience, right? Like, they're going to do these things from time to time that maybe not everyone understands why they did that at that moment in the game. But there's just certain things that now that he's a leader of the team that I just want him to clean up a little bit. Like, you don't need to take a 1 foot runner from just inside the 3-point line with 16 seconds on the clock when no one else has really got involved in the offense on that possession. And I know that sounds very nitpicky, but he's in a different role now. He's in a role where they need him to be the alpha on the team, him and Kuzma, obviously, but they need him to be the role model for the younger players. He is arguably the most talented player on the roster. I guess you could argue that with Kuzma at the moment, but I think that most people would say that Poole is the better player overall. And I just want him and Kuzma kind of does it more so, but I want to see it in game where they're just taking more responsibility and more care of the ball in terms of the shot selection and that type of thing. But again, I'm really only judging it off of one game, which is the Hornets game. And I don't think that that's necessarily a fair way to judge it, but that's just something I'm going to be monitoring over the course of the next few preseason games, is just how things look in terms of doing those small things, in terms of taking quality shots, taking care of the ball, and playing hard on defense. But Poole hasn't shot the ball well. I'm sure that'll come. But I think that that's where I'm at with Poole. Kuzma looks like Kuzma. You're going to have the ebbs and the flows with him, where one minute he looks like an all-star and the next he's making a play you're like questioning. I think that's just the Kuzma experience at this point. But overall, I've been pretty pleased with them three. And I'm looking forward to see what they do going forward.
Absolutely. And as far as this duo, will they win us a lot of games this year? I wouldn't expect them to. That's a tall task on this roster, I think, to expect these two to lead you to a ton of wins this year. But I do think it's going to be real exciting to watch, that's for sure. Poole and Kuzma both have nights that they're going to look like the best player in the league, and then they're going to have nights that do these guys even belong on an NBA roster? And that's just going to be the case for both of them this year. But their highs are going to be real high. It's going to be real fun.
Totally. Let's talk about Johnny Davis. My impressions of him from the first two preseason games was he looks like a completely different player in terms of confidence. And I've really liked what I've seen from him in that regard. He always plays hard on defense, but it's the confidence in his offense that's just more noticeable. And I'm really just happy for him, because I know that last season, being a top 10 pick and coming out and looking the way he did, and I, you know, these guys see what's being said about them, and for him to have to go to the G League, and not that there's anything wrong with going to the G League, but just kind of having to have that like bit of a gut punch in terms of struggling early on, it's nice to just see him playing with more confidence. I know that has to feel good for him just to kind of be a maybe a better space mentally to go out there and trust his game and to play pretty well. Not that that's saying he's going to have some phenomenal season this year, but I just felt like it was nice to see him playing with confidence, shooting the ball with confidence, attacking the rim with confidence, and playing quality defense. What were your impressions of Johnny Davis? I should mention that Johnny is now out for the next 1 to 2 weeks with the elbow injury, according to the Washington Wizards, who announced that just before we got on this podcast. So what were your impressions of Davis so far during the preseason?
Yeah, I'll start with the injury. Just it's awful to hear, and it seems to be minor. Hopefully it's not going to hold him back too much in the long run, but you hate for a player like him who's really yet to get a true footing in the NBA to just start the year with an injury. We saw early into his rookie year, he was injured early on in the season there as well, and it took him a little while to get adjusted to the NBA game because of that. And I hate to see that starting again here in year two for him. But based on what we've seen both in the summer league and here early on in the preseason, definitely an improvement, a drastic improvement for Johnny Davis. And to your point, a lot of it is because of his confidence. I think it's definitely noticeably different this year than it was last year. It looked like every time he got the ball last year, he questioned whether he even belonged to be on the court. And I don't think he thinks that way anymore. I think he knows, you know, I belong here in the NBA, and whether he's going to be an elite player ever worthy of where he was drafted, I doubt he ever will reach that point, but we are at least seeing an NBA player now. And I think we need to, and I've said this on multiple podcasts now, I think we need to just throw his draft position out the door with this new regime. He's in a new regime now, new front office in town, did not draft him. I think we need to just disregard where he was drafted and look at the player in totality. And what we are seeing is he's definitely a good defensive player. I think he'll be a solid NBA defensive role player in the league, but any kind of offense is a bonus. And his shot is still looking gross, which is, I hope we can improve that somehow. That's still such a interesting change for me from seeing him shoot the ball in college. Like, he looked like a respectable shooter in college, and his form is just way different now. And I don't know if that's coaching or if that's mental or what has changed his shot so drastically, but you know, if it goes in, I don't care. It can look like Sean Marion if it's going in the rim. So I'd like to see that improve still. But what I have seen from him, I think we have an NBA player on our hands at the very least, to provide decent minutes that we were unable to really see last season.
I totally agree. I just hope that my vision for him now would be, can he be a Dante DiVincenzo type of player, a guy that's good on defense and is serviceable on offense? And Dante DiVincenzo is going to have a 12-year career in the NBA, just kind of filling that role as, you know, like an eighth man on a team or something. That's what I see from Johnny Davis. I don't think his ceiling is much higher than that, but guys like that are important to teams and they get paid pretty well. So it's not like that's a negative. You know, that those players are valuable to winning teams. So that's kind of the role I see for Johnny Davis. It really sucks for him and for the Wizards too, that he's out for the first, well, for the next 1 to 2 weeks. So I guess they're saying that it's possible that he missed the season opener. So I hope for his sake that he doesn't have to miss the opener and that he can kind of maybe come back before that. And with him down and Shamet down, I guess this does open the door for Bilal to, even if he's not starting, to get more minutes, I guess, in theory, because there's not going to be any more options really behind Poole other than maybe Kispert, if, you know, if that's how you want to play it. But obviously Bilal can play the three as well. So I think that's the silver lining in it, is maybe this opens up more minutes for Bilal, even though maybe that shouldn't be an issue regardless, but you just never know what the coach is thinking in terms of what he's going to do with Bilal. I mean, he did mention him playing in the go-go, so you just don't know what their intent is fully, but in terms of his minutes, but I digress. I hope that Johnny can get back soon, get well. I liked what I've seen so far in the preseason, and I was looking forward to kind of watching him over the rest of the preseason. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to do that now, but he's a player, aside from Bilal, he's the player I've been watching most closely, because I wanted to see if that confidence that we kind of saw in the summer league was going to translate to actual NBA competition. And so far, so good in that regard. So I really do wish him well going forward. In terms of the rest of the preseason, Chase, is there anything in particular that you're looking for from a specific player, from maybe the coaching, from the team in general, that you're going to kind of be watching out for as the preseason, you know, kind of concludes over the next week or so?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be looking into the small forward position. There is definitely a logjam there, despite the injuries to Johnny Davis, to the injuries to Landry Shamet. Once those guys get back, there's going to be a battle for minutes. So I want to see somebody kind of separate themselves, whether that be Bilal. I hope it's Bilal who wins the starting position right out the gate. But I want to see him separate himself. I want to see Denny separate himself, or I want to see Corey separate himself. Because once all those guys get back and there's a battle for minutes, there's going to be one or two guys that are left out. So I want to see the young guys perform and earn their minutes is really what I'm looking for the rest of the preseason. And I clearly want to see Jordan Poole kind of take the lead here offensively and start to make more shots. But I'm not super pressed about him not hitting too many shots early on in the preseason. That's definitely going to come, in my opinion. So, but I would love to see it happen here in the next couple games.
I'm going to have my eye on the rotation. Just what is typically one of, maybe it's the last preseason game or the second to last preseason game, but typically one of the games is kind of like a dress rehearsal for the opening night, where they'll actually, at least for the like three quarters, they'll play the real rotation, and they'll play the guys kind of what they would do in the opener, and they'll kind of get a feel for what that's going to look like. And I don't know how Coach Unsell is going to play it, but I really want to get a sense of what things are really going to look like here in terms of who we can expect to actually get minutes. I think there's players that are given, you know, I think the players that started last game are a given. Denny's a given for minutes. Kispert's a given for minutes. I think Gallo's a given for minutes. That's eight guys right there. After those eight, who can we expect to get those other minutes on the team? I think DeLon Wright too. So that's nine, I guess. I left him out. So maybe that's your nine-man rotation right there. But I think that, are any of the guys on that kind of back end of the roster, I guess we won't see the Shamets and Johnny Davis's at this point in the preseason, but with those guys being out, who else are we going to see? A Ryan Rollins? Are we going to see a Patrick Baldwin Jr. get any rotation minutes? Are we going to see Cooks or Gill or any of these guys get real minutes? And Gill's hurt too, so I guess we won't see him in the preseason either, but you get my point. I just want to see what the real rotation looks like, kind of how Wes is playing it, what lineups he is mixing in. Are we going to see any lineups where Denny gets to handle the ball more with the second unit, or like just kind of what things are going to look like as they kind of get ready for the season, so on opening night we have an idea of what we can expect. So it'll be interesting to see if one of these next, I believe there's two more games left of the preseason. I could be wrong on that, but I believe so. I know their next game is on Wednesday. I just want to see if one of these games we get a real idea of, okay, like this is what the team's rotation is going to look like opening night. And we can get excited for what we expect.
Yeah, we're right around the corner from real basketball, man. I am so excited. It's just a little over a week away now. So we're getting into that time where all we have is basketball every single night, and I cannot wait for it.
Yeah. It's definitely my favorite time of the year. The last thing I want to touch on in terms of just reaction to the preseason is I really just don't think this team is going to win a ton of games. And I don't mean that in like a pessimistic way, but I think they'll be a fun team to watch. But I just, what going from watching them play the Taipans, the Australian League team, to playing the Hornets was like night and day. You could almost see that they had to adjust to like, oh, okay, like we're playing against like a real NBA team now. We, you know, some of those like mistakes and stuff that they were getting away with against the Australian League team, they just couldn't, they couldn't get away with against the Hornets. And if people, again, it's the preseason, but they were losing that game pretty badly early on. And again, it's one game, so I'm not saying that this means they're going to be terrible, but I just thought, yeah, like as optimistic as we all can be, I was like, this just team just isn't very good in terms of NBA talent. Like we're kind of in that first phase of a rebuild. So, and it felt like it to me watching that Hornets first half, where I was like, yeah, this team is going to be a lot more fun than I think any other team in the past 4 years or so have been. But I just don't think they're going to win a lot of games. I think we're going to have a lot of games that are going to be high scoring, fun to watch. We're going to get up and down the court. And I just don't think it's going to translate to winning. So my expectations are set. I know a lot of people are, I don't know what the line is set at, but on other Wizards podcasts that I listen to, a lot of my fellow Wizards analysts are hitting the over. I'm not saying I'm taking the under, but it wouldn't shock me if they won less games than anticipated.
Yeah. I'm with you there, unfortunately. And it will be a more exciting season despite that. I have no doubts about that. This year, I'm just focusing mainly on Bilal Coulibaly and Jordan Poole. Their development as the season goes on is really the most important thing for this franchise moving forward. So as long as those guys are developing, those guys are getting tons of minutes, those guys are looking good on the court, I'm likely going to be happy with whatever's happening this season, as long as craziness isn't going on around them.
Yeah, I agree. That definitely is the main thing. Obviously, we're all excited to see what Jordan Poole is going to look like. And I thought it was interesting that on our last pod, I had mentioned the kind of comparing his situation to James Harden. And it kind of just a few days later, Kevin Garnett mentioned something similar on a show he was on. And it went viral on social media. People talking about just Kevin Garnett comparing the Poole situation, the Harden situation. So I was like, oh, well, that's interesting that Kevin Garnett is like kind of seeing it along the lines that I had mentioned, not trying to give myself a pat on the back, but it just is interesting to see someone else kind of have that same perspective. And it'll be interesting to see if Poole can take the reins of this opportunity and prove himself to be maybe an even better player than people realize. So that's, I think those two things for me are my big things for this season is, can Poole be an all-star level, potentially a franchise level guy? I'm not saying I think it's likely, but I'm really, really interested to see. And then obviously Bilal's development. And I really hope that they just play Bilal 25 minutes out the gate a night. Like, I really hope I really hope that that's something that we see, because he clearly is showing that he has, you know, NBA ability, and he's not afraid. So I just want to see him thrown into the fire.
And I'll pat you on the back. You know ball just as much as Kevin Garnett, Ryan. So that's give yourself a little bit of credit.
Yeah. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that one. And in all seriousness, I'm just excited for the season, man. It'll be fun to see what the Wizards look like going forward. Chase, is there anything else you want to touch on before we close out?
Oh man, give us a follow on Twitter or X or whatever you call it these days. I'm gonna continue to call it Twitter. I can't call it X. I just can't bring myself. It's been however many months since that they changed it, and I'm still gonna call it Twitter until I decide. I think it's just for life Twitter to me. So sorry if you don't like that. Follow us on Twitter at @ChaseCarroll_. Let us know what you think of the podcast. And I'm so excited about the season to start, man. We're going to be hitting this podcast, I would say, a lot more once the season starts. So very excited about not only the season the Wizards will have moving forward, but what we got going on moving forward as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan B. Oliver. Let us know what you think of the pod. Also, what you might want us to talk about going forward. We'll obviously have a season preview pod come out. We'll figure out when we're going to record that, but it'll definitely be before the season, and we can kind of do more of a kind of a clear cut expectations and projections and predictions and things like that. That'll be more clean cut in terms of that type of thing. Because who doesn't love that type of thing? And then I get to hold Chase to all his crazy predictions down the road. And nah, in all seriousness, but
I'm hitting on every single one, Ryan. Sorry to tell you.
Right. So that'll be fun. But in the meantime, we'll catch you on the next one.